Jack, what do we do now?
I need to be debriefed.
From Chicago, Illinois, it's your 24 Weekly Debriefing, a podcast dedicated to the hit show 24. Strap yourselves in and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Code Red and the Chicago Bears, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's kickoff time.
Let's go. Come on.
Rush them, blitz them, sack them, low. Crush them, hit them, crack it, bold.
This is it. What? This is it.
What? 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 That's right. That's right. It is an episode of the 24 Weekly Debriefing from Chicago, Illinois. And upcoming is the Super Bowl. So I'm here. I got my Bears cap on, my beanie. Woohoo! Now, I'm a sports fan, but more importantly, I'm a human being who knows what's going on around me. So I pay attention to things like, I don't know, the sports team of the city that I live in going to the friggin' Super Bowl. Anyways, no matter what happens in sports, 24 keeps on going. And it was an okay episode tonight. Not that great, but, you know, it's 24, so it's still better than your average show. And I'm still happy that I download Heroes so that I can watch 24 live. So let's get right to it. Go to the summary and the commentary, the debriefing. Afterwards, we'll have some listener feedback.
The following takes place between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m.
Another episode. Okay, so President Wayne is still talking from last week. So he's been talking for a week now. In real 24 time, though, that's how long in between episodes? Like 6 minutes or seven? Maybe it's like a radio show in the 6 minutes after. Okay, new character. Look, there's Chadlow in the bunker. Chadlow's kind of pretty. He's dumped, but he's pretty. Now let's see how long he remains Chadlow until he pisses me off and I use his other name. Since he's talking to Tom, I'm thinking it's not going to be very long from now. He pisses me off. Tom is not pleased about President Wayne promising that these security measures are temporary. These security measures that violate civil liberties and that Tom is mainly responsible for. Hello, Tom. Lennox, Republican representative. I'd like you to meet Karen, the Democratic representative. Notice how I used the appropriate term, Democratic. Not the Democrat, like Bush or other people do. Democratic. If you insist on calling Democrats and the Democratic Party the Democrat Party, we're going to start saying Republic Minority. Hello, Republic Minority. How's it going, Republic? Republic makes me think of China. Republic of China. All right, that was a little off topic. Karen, looking more and more like my therapist, confronts Tom about his twitchy right-wing ways.
What is it, Tom? Is it that you think I'm some bleeding heart liberal preaching civil liberties? Is that it?
Karen, why did you have to say that? Shut up. And their argument continues.
You don't belong in national security.
To advance a very dangerous agenda, Tom, and take advantage of presidential power.
You know something,
and I will not let you do it. And if you think that you are going to wear me down, you are sadly mistaken.
Actually, you're wearing me down.
Actually, you're wearing me down. Ooh, Karen raises her voice, and it's very good. Very good. See, I was right. People are much better on the show when they're yelling. I like her before and everything like that. But yelling like Bill? Ooh, Bill and Karen getting into a fight and yelling at each other. That would be interesting. That would be nice. Tom talks to Chadlow about getting rid of Karen. It's at this time that I will now be using Chadlow's other name. So Hilary Swank's ex-husband has something up his sleeve, and it's, you know, to get rid of Karen. Again, that's Hilary Swank's ex-husband. Don't piss me off again, and then you're back to Chad Lowe. So just work on it, okay? Deal? Deal. Back at CTU, Nadia gets a hand tied behind her back, as all people within at least CTU with a Middle Eastern background get an extra layer of security put upon them. This will no doubt come into play sometimes later in the episode. At the Bauer residence, Gray is a little whiny bitch. I never doubted that, but this little thing that he does, it's like a temper tantrum. This is a show.
Dad didn't want anyone to know where he went.
He didn't even leave a number in case of an emergency.
Oh, you can't reach him, Jack. After the bomb was detonated, he told me he was cutting himself off.
He didn't leave you a number in case you fell down and hurt yourself and had to call somebody. He didn't leave you the number of the poison control hotline in case you swallowed something that you weren't supposed to. Now, I don't know if I said this or just typed it last time, but how in the world does a family produce one son whose name is Jack and the other son whose name is Graham? Not Graham spelled in a way that makes sense, but Graham in a weird, I'm going to put question marks and a lot of Q's and Z's in it. G-R-A-E-M? Jack?
Graham.
No. Somebody's a milkman, son. Daddy Bauer vanished because of a Gray screw-up. Gray references McCarthy and how he hired him because he had good references. He was cheap and he had good references. Really? Yeah, I've got a shiny letter of recommendation, so do you want to give me a nuclear non-proliferation job? I'm really cheap. Call me. 206-9842-CTU. Real cheap. The nuke, which went off in Valencia, was stolen from Gray and his whiny little ass. They didn't tell anyone about it because they were dealing with it in a more efficient and effective way than the government or the authorities could. Yeah, and since that worked out for you, Graham, so well last season and thus far this season, yeah, keep going with that. Sounds good. And once more, since Jack mentioned this guy again, who the hell is Sam? Manservant? Pool boy? Uncle? Third brother? What? Jack plays Simon Says with his brother as they leave the house to go to McCarthy's office. The look that Jack gives Rena Sofer, or Marilyn, as they're leaving the house, a little steamy. I'm liking that right now. I'm enjoying it. Jack calls Chloe looking for some backup and to let Bill know what's going down. Gray whines that Jack's selling him and their dad out.
Hi, Jack. It's good to see your loyalty still with your family.
If I were you, I wouldn't talk about loyalty.
Coming back, we have Gray and Jack banter.
Unfortunately for you, Gray, right now you're gonna have to trust me.
Trust you? After what you did to me at the house, all I trust in is your sadistic tendencies.
Now, Jack shows some care regarding the attention that might be put upon the family. The Bauer family. It's the family with a proper noun. The family. Capital F. Gray talks about loyalty to family. Now, this is a dude who, I don't know, like last episode, just said how he should have killed Jack instead of giving him to the Chinese. Which is really like, okay, both options are bad, and so we should have done the worse one, and opposed to just doing the slightly evil. The fully evil of killing him instead of the slightly, no, that's still full evil, of turning him over to Chinese to rot in a prison. For Christ's sake. We cut to Darren McCarthy and the woman. The woman is complaining. Sensibly, though, for being in a city that where a nuclear bomb just went off a couple hours ago. Anyways, McCarthy is doing some business on the phone regarding more detonators. Pulling over, he says,
"Get out."
"What?"
"Your negativity is not what I need right now. I need less stress, not more."
Oh. Look who might have a little anger management problem here. few moments later, Fayed calls him, and after a short conversation and McCarthy demonstrating his immense patience, McCarthy hangs up on him. Hanging up on a terrorist? Wow. Balls of steel. Or balls of Vegemite. Whichever. At CTU, Milo is getting suspicious about Nadia not doing something fast enough. Why? Because that's where we're at in the season. Questioning loyalty, looking for a mole, that kind of thing. And actually, with Graham and Jack's conversation earlier, it kind of seems like questioning loyalty is the motif of the episode. Now, again, Milo looks way too pretty to be working here. And again, way too tanned. These people should not be tanned. They've been working for 11 weeks in like a closed-off little like underground or wherever office. They should not be tan. Nadia is the only one who's allowed to be tan. Milo asks Bill about Nadia, and Bill gives up the information about the profiling and the extra layer of security. And thanks to Milo's expositioning to Bill, we now know that Nadia has lived in this country since she was 2 years old and is a registered Republican. I hope that we can find out these facts about every other character throughout the season. Milo makes his feelings known about the religious and racial profiling which is going on and about the hand tied behind Nadia's back. Over at the He-Man Woman Haters Terrorist Club, which is the detention facility for those who aren't in my club, sharing of information from the outside world about the attack is going on amongst the He-Man Woman Haters Club. One of them mentions the four visitors, which is referencing the code word for the nuclear bomb. Waleed asks a few too many questions, but somehow easily gets out of everyone else's suspicions of him for suddenly being incredibly inquisitive. One of the club members has a cell phone that, and he's been using that to get information from the outside world on. New mission, must get phone. I'm sure it's a Sprint phone. Bunker. Tom says all these people will come forward to testify. What the fuck is going on here? Tom and Hillary Swank's ex-husband are pulling something off, which will apparently move Karen to resign. He's going in. Tom is going in for the kill like a buzzard, and I hate both of them. Tom explains how Karen is fucking up his cabbage patch, which is a old Chasing Amy reference, by the way, and that she needs to get out of his way or else a whole list of crew members that he goes through are going to testify about a mistake that Bill had made 14 months ago regarding Fayed being released from a detention facility. And note, when he was released, when Bill released him from the detention facility, is this when we still, this when we thought that Fayed was a good guy? And whenever a television show, when someone in there starts listing names who aren't actual characters, but are just listing full names, it's like crew member's wife, crew member's husband, crew member's mom, crew member's daughter. I really want my name to be one of those. Like blah, 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 Kristen Barrick. That would be so just fourth wall breaking insanity for me. I think my mind would explode. But I would love it. Oh my god, how I would love it. Karen brings out the big guns, shows that she has a pair, and makes me love her.
Do you want to get in the ring with me, Tom? You've got skeletons in your closet, and I will not hesitate to pull them out.
Tom has a great line after Karen calls him, appropriately enough, a son of a bitch.
You're a son of a bitch.
I never claimed otherwise.
Even though I'm not happy with either of them, could we somehow superimpose Hillary Swank's ex-husband's face on top of Peter McNichol's? Take some money out of the budget, kill another character so we can do that. Morris is annoying Nadia about doing whatever she's doing slowly. Yeah, people bothering me always makes things go faster. And once more, I am moved to ask, Morris, British or gay.
Don't keep any secrets, me darling. We're on the same side.
Right? Milo's got the hots for Nadia, which really is not a very... It's a pretty good rebound after Chloe. Chloe? Nadia. Nadia? Chloe. Upgrade? I'm sorry, I love Chloe, but upgrade? Milo shows his affection by doing some technical thing that basically just results in Nadia being able to work under his name now without the layer of protection. He lets her borrow his arm since she has one tie behind her back. And I really don't think that that's a very effective metaphor, though I keep using it. Bunker! Karen is giving in to Tom and Hillary Swank's ex-husband. No, I love you. I love you, Karen. She goes into President Wayne's office, and I'm convinced that this will not happen. This could not possibly happen. One, it's not a Palmer thing to accept a resignation at this point, but also because they're in a fracking underground bunker. A nuclear bomb has gone off, really. And President Wayne, predictably, is not going to allow this to happen, at least for the moment. Karen fights for him to let her go and gets all teary about it, leaving him with some advice. I really don't want this to happen. I really like Karen. Why do all the women get kicked out of the Situation Room? Meh. Karen's getting transferred back to the LA division of CTU. Okay, yay that we might get some CTU on CTU action, but boo on it being because Karen resigns from Tom's tomfoolery. Hillary Swank's ex-husband, who I might mention again that I do not like very much at this point, bumps into Karen as she's leaving. In a way that's totally not obvious that you're a slimy little weasel, that you're just bumping into her so that you can confirm that she just resigned. Hillary Swank's ex-husband. Leaving for a commercial, we're left with a shot of Tom Lennox that has Dick Cheney feelings all over it. And yes, I mean that as a crooked mouth, executive privilege, my ass insult. It was very creepy. So good for the people who made it, but boo. Evil. Jack and Gray are outside of McCarthy's offices, apparently going car by car through the parking lot, listing type of car, license plate, to see if McCarthy owns any of them. I guess there weren't that many things interesting to do during the commercial break, so. But now, thanks to Fox promo people, we know that in the next 20 minutes we'll see Jack's dad. So he's in this building, since it took them the entire episode to move to this building. Back at the He-Man Woman Haters Club, the detention facility, Waleed apparently learned misdirection from his summer spent interning with David Blaine. And does a little pickpocketing, snatching one of the club members' phone. Agent Samuels, who is the Oz guy, told us his name, thank you very much, gives out the 24 fan phone number and apparently really, really wants us to remember it.
The number is 310-597-3781. Again, the number 310-597-3781.
Now, I called it right after he said it. Thank you, closed captioning, for solving the problem of my slow typing fingers. And it was not full, the mailbox, and I left a message. Strangely enough, on this message that I, or on this phone that I had seen the phone number on TV, I left them my fan number. It's a callback number, so I guess, you know, that's kind of appropriate. I said good stuff. I said complimentary stuff, and it was a little odd because I was missing part of the show as I was calling. But, you know, it was... It was really nice. Now, as I'm going over this episode again, I'm realizing that Samuels, Agent Samuels, the Oz guy, tells Waleed to press star twice on the phone as after he's called the number. Now, I'd already called them, and by the time that the show started to air on the West Coast, the number's mailbox was full. But was this another instruction to the fans? Was it? And 24 So needs to have an alternate reality game because it would be perfect, like the computer tech stuff. Oh my God. Via Chloe, we find out that He-Man Woman Haters Club, they really just hate women. They're not terrorists.
I'm getting Wally the hell out of here.
This is Agent Samuels. Notify the guards. We are taking Waleed Al-Razani out.
We're going to take Waleed out? You might not want to yell that with soldiers and agents with guns around on the playground. Crap. Hadar, who is the cell phone guy, realizes that Waleed stole his phone. And just as Sandra and Ozguy are going to pull Waleed out, the club starts beating the shit out of him. This beating the shit out of him actually does something opposed to when the agents did it. Apparently, Arabics know how to beat people down. When they beat someone down, they stay down. We should really outsource all of our body work out to them. Technical stuff to India, beating people up to the Middle East. I really like this turnaround regarding the terror or the quote-unquote terrorists in the detention facility. It actually was fairly surprising, and it was refreshing that it wasn't another the redneck was right moment. It was a nice diversity within the first 6 hours. CTU guys are waiting outside of McCarthy's office as Gray and Jack wander about. Gray and Jack break into the offices while Jack breaks in and Gray just kind of stands there. And now we haven't seen McCarthy for a while, so he's surely not in the building. And since there are now 10 minutes left in the episode, we know for sure that Jack's dad is here. Once again, thanks, stupid Fox promo people. According to his computer, McCarthy started deleting files shortly after the bomb went off. Some intention-filled rustling and tapping occurs off-screen, leading Jack to handcuff Gray to a bookcase and then go search for someone to jump him. And who do we find? The people to jump him. And his dad. Yeah. That scene from the previews that we've seen thousands of times. I realized that there haven't been any tasers this season. Last season, tasers were the only thing which could bring Jack down. This time, Big Black Guy. Big Black Guy may be getting revenge for Curtis. Ah. After Daddy Bauer confirms that this is his son, Jack asks for his gun back. And I'm sure that this little interaction was said many times when he was a child.
Give me my gun back.
Dad and Jack interact. I'm really, really enjoying this.
I'm doing everything I can to find McCarthy. What in the hell are you thinking? Trying to do this on your own.
I only learned about it yesterday when Graham told me about the diverted weapon.
The second you knew the bombs were missing, why didn't you call the authorities?
He told me that the bombs couldn't be detonated. The triggers were deactivated.
He was wrong.
Evidently.
Look, Jack, I'm just trying to keep my son out of prison. Dad, where is McCarthy?
I don't know.
There's excellent chemistry between the two of them, and I really hope that Daddy Bauer stays alive long enough so that we can see more of it. But apparently no one in the Bauer family got Dad's height. The guy is taller than the corn that Babe's farmer never actually grew, because I don't think corn grows in Britain. All right. I couldn't think of anything better regarding height. I really couldn't. But neither Graham nor Jack are tall, so. Milkman's child. Daddy Bauer wants to put himself out there in order to protect Graham. Apparently, Jack wasn't there when Daddy Bauer needed him. That gets referenced by Graham, so plot point book that for later. Graham is an ass, and Jack nearly cold cocks him again. I simultaneously want to hit my television, even though I realize that it is in fact one of my possessions and not the fictional character on TV, because this pisses me off so much.
I cannot, I will not be responsible for thousands and thousands of lives just to try and protect this family.
Wrong. Protecting family is everything, and I think your dead wife would agree.
You son of a bitch! Jack!
Did he not see the first season of this show? Not only that, did he not have to endure the epic poem-length cougar adventure? We did. All for Kim. Next, Graham really, really, really sucks and double-crosses his dad.
Put the gun away. You work for me.
No, Dad, he doesn't.
This is insane.
You don't think I'd let you run loose without keeping an eye on you, do you?
Tell him to put the guns away.
Shut up, Dad. Well, I'm glad we can all finally put our cards on the table. Family. Let's go.
McCarthy is safe with his gal pal elsewhere, and Jack and his dad are handcuffed. Just as I think that there's maybe some hope for them with those CTU guys waiting outside, we see them dead in their van. Their van that has a yellow air freshener. Yellow. Yellow. The official air freshener color of 24. Daddy Bauer suddenly realizes that there is in fact a line and that Gray crossed it way back when.
Good God. What have you done?
Jack forced my hand.
Call me when it's over.
Jack forced my hand. Call him when it's done. On to meet their deaths. Not really, because it's hour six. Jack and Daddy Bauer are shackled inside the baddie's van while being at gunpoint.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God! Is this Kristen from the 24 Weeks of Debriefing? Oh my God! Oh my God! Cool!
Hey, this is Tim from Huntington, West Virginia.
Hey, Tim.
I wanted to tell you I listened to your show for the first time. Love the show.
Thanks.
Love the debriefing. And I got your moment of zen, or whatever it is that you call it, at the end with the fighting when he went all old school Lost Boys on it. So that's a great one. I think my moment was just... FYI, it was when Curtis was shot, because he was great, and I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I mean, he was on Larry King talking away about, you know, how great it was being on the show and the upcoming season and how much he looked forward to it, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, in the fourth hour, he's dead. It just makes no sense to me. I'm stunned. I don't understand.
He wasn't in the promo pic, though.
I was mad at the writers for doing it, but... I guess we're going to have to go from here. I mean, it was like, okay, then there's a nuclear bomb that goes off, but I'm still trying to get over the fact that Curtis is dead. So, worse, the nuclear bomb going off or Curtis being killed? I don't know. My money's on Curtis, because I think he probably could have stopped the nuclear bomb.
So
stopped
it.
So, anyway,
oh, yeah.
I'll talk to you later. Great show. Thought I'd phone in my comments and keep up the good work. Bye.
That was Tim from West Virginia, and before that we had Joe from 24 The Podcast having a little mini climax all over my phone system. If you too would like to mini climax all over my phone system, you can give me a call at 206-9842-CTU. That's 206-9842-CTU. And I'm going to take Tim's suggestion, or just off-the-cuff comment, and call it my weekly moment of zen. So if you have a moment of zen from this week's episode, give me a call and it'll be on next week's episode.
I don't care how it's interpreted on the outside. I just gave you an order and I'd like you to follow it, please.
Good, thank you.
Here we are with some listener email. If you would like to write in, you, the listener, you can write me at 24, spelling out the words, at podomatic.com. Again, that's 24 at podomatic.com. You can also leave comments in the comment section on the podcast page, which is 24.podomatic.com. The same, only slightly different, I know. And again, you can leave reviews and such on iTunes, which I would greatly appreciate. So this is catching up on some email from the past couple of weeks. This one is about my calling into Joe's podcast, 24 The Podcast, found at the24blog.com, the24blog.com. And this is from Drakester. First of all, Kristen, I think you are the freaking bomb. Thank you. I enjoyed your guest appearance on Joe's podcast this week. He should really thank you because the other caller he had on was very weak and you basically carried the show, so thanks a bunch. Okay. I began enjoying your podcast this week and about 15 minutes in it just stopped. Is there something wrong on my end or did others experience technical difficulties as well? Drakester. And he finishes his email with the black customer. So apparently he's the black consumer of the bunch. He is my one black listener. And for the amount of junk in my trunk, which I do have, there should be many, 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 many more than one. His comments about Joe's podcast. Joe's doing live shows, which are being broadcast after the Pacific time airing of 24. And live shows, totally different entity. And I am in awe of him for even trying to do it. Nevertheless, to successfully do, I think, like 4 or 5 now, as well as do the spoiler cast. And I mean, it's a much, much larger animal. And I do a radio show on my school's radio station. And I know that that's a handful in itself. So Joe can kick my ass any day. But I'm prettier. If you do have any technical difficulties, I encourage you to go to Podomatic.com. Again, it's Podomatic, very similar to this old Saturday Night Live routine about the Bass-O-Matic, except for this one is with pods. Podomatic.com. And if you look there, in the forums or there's a little help button, you can find out if it's you or what the hell's happening. There haven't been many technical difficulties, but I'm glad that a couple of you let me know via MySpace as well as the email. And so hopefully we can make sure that those things don't happen again. Next email. And this is in response email to one I sent out to Penny Keating. Penny Keating has a website, pennykeating.com. Keating spelled K-E-A-T-I-N-G, Penny P-E-N-N-Y, pennykeating.com. And it's a great site for all of your Kiefer Sutherland and Rocco De Luca info. It's an excellent source for up-to-the-minute news, photos, and video clips. Again, for like video clips and photos from like the recent award ceremonies or even paparazzi kind of stuff. I love her site. But she had linked me, and so I said thanks. And she wrote back to me, well, thanks. I appreciate the feedback. I visit your site a lot. And she says, I will definitely give you a call. And you are the only female podcaster. You're right. Email me anytime. You have an awesome site. Penny. Yes, I encourage you, if you have any thoughts, and especially if you have your own fan blog, or, you know, if you do something about 24, please call in or email me. I'll even give you your own little segment if you want. And you can call me at 206-9842-CTU. That rolls off of my tongue now like the old number never existed. Next email. I told you I was going through them, catching up. I just wanted to say that I love your podcast. This was my first episode with you, but I'll be back. Poor Curtis. This was, again, a couple weeks ago. I don't have a podcast, but I have a question of the day blog. Not nearly as exciting. Well, podcasting isn't that exciting, trust me. Lots of time alone in my room. www.questionofthedaywordpress.com. And she just moved it over there from her previous site. So don't feel sorry for me because I have only a few comments. 1,200 questions came along for the move, but all the answers stayed behind. Anyhow, love the podcast! ! 4 times. Signed, Indigo. Thank you, Indigo, and you win a special T-ball trophy for having a name that's 3,000 times cooler than mine. And yes, poor Curtis. Also, a note, I haven't heard anyone mention this yet, or possibly I just screwed myself by saying that because it'll show that I didn't listen to somebody, but they killed Curtis on Martin Luther King Day. Yes, two black presidents, so you can't really, like, point a finger at them, but... like, one of the only guys out in the field. You killed a black guy on Martin Luther King Day. You never really gave him much of a character before you had the intention of killing him. Meh. I've been saying meh a lot today. I don't know why. It's my general attitude. I'm saying meh. 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 Mars Attacks Villain. Okay, next email. Hey, Kristen. Hey. Photographic proof that people take the subway in LA. Strangely enough, and you can see this picture at Podomatic, or at 24.podomatic.com. Strangely enough, the guy to the right is wearing a members-only jacket. You can't see that very well in this shot, but strange that they still have those jackets around. Signed, David. David is a friend of mine, which I'll tell you about in a second, but he sent me a picture from the LA subway. And now, I do agree that this is a photo that in all other circumstances does prove that people ride the subway in LA, and it proves the phone call which we had, I believe, 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, regarding people riding the subway in LA, and me making the assumption slash joke that people don't. However, the members only jacket in this photograph makes me think that this is from a photo of the subway in the 80s or a photo of some alternate universe where people still wear members only jackets. And apparently in the alternate universe still also take the LA subway. So I don't quite consider this proof yet. I'll add it to the evidence pile that people do ride the subway in LA, but the case is not closed. David, by the way, does a great political podcast. It's on the liberal side, so the liberal progressive and the funny side. So if you don't like to laugh or don't, you know, get really angry, Blogs for Bauer people, you may want to stay away. But I enjoy it, and he's been a pal through who I've known and talked to back and forth for a couple months now, and he's great. And you can find that on Podomatic, or else you can go to indirectdemocracy.com. Indirectdemocracy.com. That link is also on my site. Next email. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know that I found your 24 podcast via iTunes. I listened to your latest one and enjoyed it very much. I'll have to listen to your other ones later this week. Funny line about the He-Man Woman Haters Club. I'll be listening, Bob. Well, Bob, that last line sounds a little creepy and stalker-like. If I say it in a certain tone, I'll be listening, Bob. I'll be listening, Bob. But I thank you nonetheless, of course. I immensely appreciate being told about me saying something funny or me saying something funny unintentionally, which you laughed at instead of with, or being told that I made somebody laugh in general. I love it. That's one of the main reasons why I do this show. That's what I think sets me apart from some of the other podcasts. That and the fact that I have a vagina and boobs. Well, I don't know about the boobs. 24 cast might have some man boobs in there. I'm not sure. And some of the latest reviews for 24cast on iTunes, I think they might describe 24cast as boobs. I would not. But still, yes, vagina, boobs, me. That's the show. Vagina, boobs, laughter. 3 words that describe the 24 weekly debriefing. But yes, you can email me at 24@podomatic.com or call me at 206-9842-CTU. 206-9842-CTU. And with that, I think I am going to call it a night. This is the first time that I'm doing this podcast and getting it out Monday night, Tuesday morning, and then having to get up at 9 a.m. or having to get up at 7 a.m. for class. Yeah, let's see if my love of 24 or my love of printmaking wins out. It's not a very hard thing to guess. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. You can get a hold of me the various ways I've repeated throughout the podcast. And I will see you next week for another exciting episode of 24 and another exciting episode of the 24 Weekly Debriefing.
What are you smoking?